A man with the shadow of a king in chess jumps across a landscape. Endgame Entertainment. A star flares in the cosmos. Within the glare, shards form letters. BBC Films. BBC Films presents a Fionnuala Dwyer Wild Gaze Films production. In association with Endgame Entertainment, a film by Lone Scherfig. Peter Sarsgaard. Alfred Molina. Rosamund Pike. Dominic Cooper. Olivia Williams. Cara Seymour. Sally Hawkins. Ellie Kendrick. Amanda Fairbank Hines. Matthew Beard. Emma Thompson. Carey Mulligan as Jenny. An Education. Casting director Lucy Bevan. Line producer Caroline Levy. At school, young women walk with books balanced on their heads. Music supervisor, Clee Savage. Makeup and hair designer, Lizzie Yenny Georgiou. Costume designer, Odile Dix-Moreau. The girls learn to dance, circling a hall in pairs. They use whisks in a cookery class. Music by Paul Englishby. Editor, Barney Pilling. Heavy snow is falling as a teenage girl walks down a suburban street. She has long dark hair and is wearing school uniform. Girls play with hula hoops in the playground. Production designer, Andrew McAlpine. Girls breathe on a cold window and make foot shapes in condensation. Director of photography, John de Borman, BSc. They play lacrosse. Executive producers, James D. Stern, Douglas Hanson, Wendy Jaffet, David M. Thompson, Jamie Lawrenson, Nick Hornby. Based on a memoir by Lynn Barber. Screenplay by Nick Hornby. The Girls Daydream and Doze. Produced by Fionnuala Dwyer and Amanda Posey. In class, a girl scratches the back of her ankle with her other foot. A graphic paper plane flies into a bin. Directed by Lone Scherfig, the girls daydream and look bored.
Come on, girls. Anybody? Anybody else? Jenny again. Isn't it because Mr. Rochester's blind? Yes, Jenny. I've got an English essay to do by tomorrow morning.
Right.
Twickenham, London, 1961.
So the only sound I want to hear coming through the ceiling is the sound of sweat dripping onto textbooks.
Cello?
No cello.
I thought we agreed that cello was my interest or hobby.
Well, it already is your interest or hobby. So when they ask you at the Oxford interview, what is your interest or hobby, you can say the cello and you won't be lying. But you don't have to practice a hobby. A hobby is a hobby.
Can I stop going to the youth orchestra then?
No. No. The youth orchestra is a good thing. That shows you're a joiner in her.
Yes. But I've already joined in. So now I can stop.
No, well, that just shows the opposite, don't you see? No, that shows you're a rebel. They don't want that at Oxford.
No, they don't want people who can think for themselves.
Oh, of course they don't.
Her father sips his juice. Jenny's at orchestra practice. A young boy next to her on violin stares at her, and she waves to an older, fresh-faced lad in the violin section. The youngsters take the mickey, and Jenny sighs in frustration. Jenny and the violinist exchange glances as they play. Later, Jenny frowns at the sky as she leaves orchestra practice.
Should I wear, Sunday best?
Better, I'm afraid. Just to show my father you're un jeune homme sourire, not a teddy boy.
Oh, God, can I?
I'm going to go. Buck it down in a minute.
Oh, OK. Right.
I'll see you at the weekend.
Bye, then.
Bye.
Sorry.
Sorry.
Goodbye, my loves.
She stands getting soaked at a bus stop. A car speeds past and a woman with a pram and a young boy nearly gets run over.
Oh, no, look what you've done.
waiting for us.
It fell off.
No, it didn't fall off. You picked it off.
Come on. Put my socks all wet.
The car pulls over beside Jenny.
Hello.
She avoids eye contact with the handsome driver.
The only sense, you wouldn't take a lift from a strange man, but I'm a music lover and I'm worried about your cello, so what I propose is you put it in my car and walk alongside me.
How do I know where to drive off with the cello?
Good point. How much does a new cello cost? 10, 15 pounds? I don't know. Let's say 15. No? All right. Up to you.
He gets out of the car and runs round to put the cello in the back seat.
And that?
I'm David, by the way.
Jenny.
Very good.
He gets back behind the wheel and drives off at walking pace beside Jenny.
How did the concert go?
It was a rehearsal. Concert's next Thursday.
What are you playing?
Elgar.
I think it's a shame he spent so much time in Worcester. Yeah, because Worcester's too near Birmingham and you can hear that in the music. There's a terrible brummy accent in there if you listen hard enough. Anyway, Elgar and the Jews don't mix very well.
I'm not a Jew.
No, I am.
Oh.
I wasn't accusing you.
Can I sit in the car with my cello?
Jump in.
She hops into the passenger seat.
I've never seen a car like this before. C'est très chic.
It's a Bristol. Not many of them made. Where to, madam?
I only live round the corner. Worse luck.
I'll see what I can do.
David changes gear. They arrive on Jenny's neat tree-lined street. A large black car overtakes them.
I suppose cellists must go to a lot of concerts.
We don't go to any concerts. We don't believe in them.
Oh, they're real.
So people say.
Smoke?
I'd best not. I live just up there.
Why don't we believe in them?
You'd say there's no point to them.
For father, this is.
Oh, yes. They're just for fun. Apart from school concerts, which are no fun at all, so we go to those. They don't help you get on.
Which, of course, is what's so wonderful about them. Anyway, you'll go one day.
I know, I will. If I get to university, I'm going to read what I want and listen to what I want, and I'm going to look at paintings and watch French films, and I'm going to talk to people who know lots about lots.
Good for you.
Yes.
Which university?
Oxford, if I'm lucky. Did you go anywhere?
I study what I believe they call the University of Life. I didn't get a very good degree there.
Well, thank you for driving me home.
David nods and gives a tight smile. Jenny smiles and gets out of the car.
You all right? Paris,
yes, it's fine. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Le ciel de Paris marche des amoureux.
Lying on the floor of her room, Jenny sings along to the record, which spins on a small player on the floor.
I don't want to hear any French singing. French singing wasn't on the syllabus last time I looked.
Battenberg?
Thank you. I'd say like the crustata.
So where are you applying, Graham?
I'm not sure yet.
When will you be sure? You can't let the grass grow under your feet, young man.
I might take a year off.
What for?
I don't know, maybe do some travelling. Yeah, that sort of thing.
Travelling? What are you, a teddy boy? You know she's going to Oxford, don't you? If we get her Latin up to scratch. So while she's studying English at Oxford, you'll be the wandering Jew.
Mr. Miller, I'm not a teddy boy. I'm an homme sérieux jeune. I'm a homme jeune sérieux.
Jenny winces as Graham flounders. He resorts to his tea. On another day, Jenny reads the card in a large bouquet of flowers.
That's me.
Where are they from?
Gosh, him.
What's this?
Jack, I'm afraid Jenny's been sent some flowers from a chap.
A chap? What kind of chap?
He's wishing me luck for tonight.
Oh, is that all he's wishing you? Where do you get the money from?
He earns it, I expect.
Earns it? Why isn't he at school?
Can we just go? Otherwise the good luck flowers will actually be responsible for me actually missing the concert, which would be ironic, n'est-ce-pas?
Her father frowns and her mother smirks as Jenny strides off down the garden path.
I don't like it.
Objection noted. Jenny?
Noted.
Yeah, well, there's got to be 10 bob's worth of luck here. I mean, that's a bit much for a schoolgirl, isn't it? But we can't leave it here. I mean, even I'd burgle a house with flowers left outside. They'll think we're made of money. Thank you, Marjorie.
Camus doesn't want you to like him. Feeling is bourgeois. Being engagé is bourgeois. He kills someone and he doesn't feel anything. His mother dies and he doesn't feel anything.
I wouldn't feel anything if my mother died. Does that make me an existentialist?
No, that makes you a cow.
Neither.
Well, after I've been to university, I'm going to be French. And I'm going to Paris. And I'm going to smoke and wear black and listen to Jacques Brel and I won't speak ever. So plus c'est comme ça.
David's crossed the road in front of them.
Crikey. What? Wait here. Hello?
Hello.
Hello. thank you.
How did it go?
Fine, I think. I didn't mess my bit up. Nobody got thrown out of the orchestra afterwards.
Always the mark of a cultural triumph. Listen, I'm glad I ran into you. What are you doing on Friday?
Going to school.
Meant in the evening.
Of course. Nothing.
Because I'm going to listen to some Ravel in St. John Smith Square. My friends Danny and Helen would be coming too, so it wouldn't be, I'll tell you what. I'll come and pick you up. And if your mother and father disapprove, then you can have the tickets and go with one of them. How does that sound?
Thank you. And I'd like to go with you.
Seven. Okay. And, probably go for a spot of supper afterwards.
Jenny agonises.
Supper?
Mm, if you want to.
Well, the thing is we'll probably have eaten.
Well, if you'd like supper, then perhaps on Friday you could... not eat.
Yes, of course.
They shake hands, and Jenny heads back to her friends.
Smart of supper!
You've heard of supper?
You've heard of it, we've never eaten it.
So you're going to have to tell us everything.
Otherwise it's not fair.
I won't allow it!
Fine! He's more than happy for you to take me.
Fine, I will.
Good.
Where is it?
St. John Smith Square.
Where's that?
I don't know. I'm sure we could find out.
It's in Westminster, right next door to the Abbey.
How'd you know that?
I had a life before we were married, you know. You seem to stop to that.
Well, there you are.
Where are we?
We're near Westminster Abbey. I'm not going all the way over there.
The trouble is, that's where St. John Smith Square is.
Well, there must be something on locally. Where's the paper?
She wants to see someone who can play. She doesn't want to see Sheila Kirkland scratching away. I'll take her.
And how do you propose to get there? RAF helicopter?
That's him.
Oh, bloody hell.
Jack. Oh, by the way, David's a Jew. A wandering Jew. So watch yourself.
What does she mean by that?
I've never said anything like that. It's just an expression. Look, I've got nothing against the Jews.
Glad to hear it. Hello.
No, I didn't mean I've got nothing against you. No, of course I do mean that. I don't.
Dad.
No, is there, sorry. It's just that you're not the sort of person that I would be against. Well, I wouldn't, because I'm not the kind of person who would be against people. I'm Jack. This is my wife, Marjorie.
He didn't tell me he had a sister, Jenny.
Please.
You're a lucky man, Jack.
Yes, I suppose I am.
They sit awkwardly in the living room. Jack studying David.
This is lovely.
Thank you.
Oh, I'm sorry, David. Would you like a drink?
I'd love one, Jack, but we're running a little late. If Jenny's ready, perhaps we'll shoot off.
Actually, David, Dad has something he has to tell you.
Oh, really? Well, it was just a question, a point of reference. What's the best way to get to St. John Smith Square from here?
It's a straight run, really. Up to Hammersmith, take the A4 through Kensington, you're there.
Simple as that.
Simple as that.
Shall I book us some tickets?
No. Well, have her back by 10, David.
David braces himself to ask another question.
Well, I was hoping she might come with me afterwards for a spot of supper with my Aunt Helen.
Oh, well, No. She's usually in bed by then.
What if I promise to have her back by 11:30?
Well, it's Friday night. And you are going all the way to the West End.
Thanks, Jack. I appreciate it. All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Have a nice time.
David gallantly kisses Marjorie's hand. David and Jenny run through the London rain up stone steps to the concert venue.
Hello, hello.
Oh.
Are we late?
No, I thought we were going to miss the beginning and then it wouldn't be worth going in and we could all go off dancing or something.
Helen is one of the more reluctant members of tonight's audience.
Hello.
Jenny, these are my friends, Helen and Danny. Shall we?
Hello.
Right.
The men and women pair up and go in. Jenny admires glamorous blonde Helen and touches her first stole.
Lovely, isn't it? It's beautiful. Where did you get it from?
Oh, I don't know. Chelsea somewhere.
Oh, yours is... Well, good for this sort of concert, isn't it? Thank you. We should go shopping together one day, you and I, if you want.
That would be nice. But Chelsea, c'est beaucoup trop cher pour moi.
Sorry?
I just said, it's too expensive for me.
No, you didn't. You said something completely different.
No, well, I said it in French.
In French? Why?
I don't know.
Well, Chelsea's too expensive for me too, really, but we don't have to worry about that. If you want something in Chelsea, just get David to take you shopping.
Why would David want to take me shopping?
The pair walk off together. Helen taps Jenny playfully on the shoulder. Jenny and David listen in rapt attention to the concert. Helen looks unimpressed and sleepy. Danny concentrates serenely. Jenny smiles to herself as she listens. Later, everyone files out of the concert hall.
I booked a table at Juliet's. Will that kill the mood, do you think?
Oh, I hope so. God, I always think I'm going to my own funeral when I listen to classical music. That was classical, wasn't it?
Yes, very classical. As classical as you can get.
Juliet's it is, then. Heaven forbid we should end the evening reflecting on our own mortality.
They walk to the nightclub. A platinum blonde singer fronts the band.
Sunday,
Jenny smiles as she looks around the glamorous clientele in the glitzy venue, the gilt decor, and ornate tables.
Extraordinary woman, Greco. Just like you, Helen.
What about Jean-Francois Sagan? Have you heard that one? It's wonderful.
I've only got, well, I think it's just called Juliet Greco. The one with the eyes on the sleeve? I saved up and got my French conversation teacher to bring it back after Christmas.
You've got a French conversation teacher?
Yes.
Is that why you suddenly speak French? For no reason?
You never heard her sing? She's marvellous.
You should see her in Paris, though, not here.
David will take you.
I'd love to. You fit right in.
Better than here, really.
Isn't it wonderful to find a young person who wants to know things? There's so much I want you to see.
Helen and Danny exchange a worried look.
Are you all right to come have a look at that Pembroke Villas place with me on Friday, Danny?
Oh, no, I can't. There's a Burne Jones coming up at Christie's on Friday. Desperate to get my hands on it.
You're thinking of buying a Burne Jones?
Mm.
A real one?
I just have a feeling the Pre-Raphaelites are going to take off.
I love the Pre-Raphaelites!
Do you?
Yes, of course! Rossetti and Burne Jones, anyway, not Holman Hunt so much. He's so garish.
Oh, absolutely. Well, why don't we all go to the auction together?
Auction? Gosh, how exciting!
It's Friday morning.
David glances at Jenny, who freezes.
Friday? Oh.
You're busy?
Oh, yes.
Tant pis. Quel dommage, c'est pas de problème, c'est...
Are you sure you're busy?
No. I'm sure I could rearrange. That would be lovely.
Jenny smiles happily as she applauds the singer. She keeps watching the stage as Danny and Helen talk together. Jenny watches the glamorous couple, and as David looks at her, she glances at him, then smiles self-consciously. Helen and Danny are completely wrapped up in one another. Jenny smiles at David, and they both laugh. She grins happily to herself. Jenny arrives home and cautiously opens the door. She walks quietly in. Her mother's in the kitchen.
What are you doing? I can't get this casserole dish clean. It's all burned around.
It's 25 to 12.
We finished tea at 7.
I know what time it is. How was your evening?
Best night of my life.
Her mother gives a non-committal nod and goes back to her casserole.
Night, Mum.
Marjorie glances over her shoulder as Jenny trudges sadly from the kitchen.
Two violas. Oh, I don't want to hear about Ravel. I want to know what else was on the programme.
There was nothing like that.
He was a perfect gentleman. He just said he wanted to take me places and show me things.
Things?
Plural.
Oh, my God.
I knew that Jane Eyre would eventually work its magic on you. I'm assuming that's what you're all so animated about.
Of course. Jane Eyre and Jenny's new boyfriend.
He's not my new boyfriend.
It's true, he's more of a man friend, actually. He's got a sports car, Miss Dodge.
It's maroon. So could we call him a Mr. Rochester figure?
I think he must be as blind as Mr. Rochester.
You may or may not have noticed I'm trying to steer the subject away from Jenny's lurid love life into the matter in hand. And it is clear from this evidence that most of you know far too much about the former and next to nothing about the latter. Reluctantly, I have to admit that Jenny is clearly an expert on both. Excellent, as always, Jenny.
She's got an A+. David's waiting by his car outside the school. Jenny hurries out. She's changed out of her school uniform.
Hello.
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 They both grin as she gets into the passenger seat.
Mm.
David gets behind the wheel, and the sleek crystal drives off to the auction.
Any further bids? Sold then for 60 guineas. We now turn to lot 41, the Tree of Forgiveness by Sir Edward Burne Jones. This is a rare opportunity to purchase a key work of the Pre-Raphaelite movement. Who will start me off at 100 guineas?
Yes, that's someone.
50 guineas. 20 guineas. Thank you. 40. Thank you. Do I hear 60? 80 guineas. Thank you. Another one, 100 guineas. 120.
Danny smiles knowingly.
No further bids?
Your turn.
What?
Any further bids? Any more? 120 guineas from the very eager new bidder. 140, madam? Thank you. 160 guineas. 180. Thank you. 200 guineas. 220.
The woman shakes her head.
Another one, madam.
And again. Jenny's rigid with excitement. David's grinning.
Sold for 200 guineas. Thank you. Your name, please.
Mella.
Then we move on to lot 42.
Thank you very much. I couldn't possibly have bought it without you.
Just a couple of years ago, you could pick one of them up for 50 quid. No one was interested.
Oh, I would have been so interested.
As you can see, I just love things.
Danny's place is palatial, filled with art and luxury furniture.
That's not a Locky Hill.
There aren't many people who come in here and say that.
No, certainly not me.
Oh, it's beautiful. Do you pray?
I used to. Vow to myself that one day I don't want these, and now I do own one. I don't touch the bugger. It's vulgar, really, putting it on display.
Give it to Jenny.
Huh? I think that would be even more vulgar.
Play for us, Jenny.
No, no, one day, when I'm good enough.
Oh, she's good enough now.
David, you've never seen me play.
I can come and hear you in Oxford when you get there.
We should all go and spend a weekend in Oxford. Straw boaters, punting, cream teas,
boats,
antiquarian bookshops. Bit of business if we can find it. What about next weekend?
Yes.
I wouldn't be allowed to do that.
Helen turns and stares at her.
I'll talk to them.
You're going to ask my father if you can take me away for the weekend. He'd have you arrested.
We'll see.
I bet you can't.
How much?
I'd be careful if I were you, Jenny. You don't know who you're dealing with.
Half a crown.
You're on.
They shake on it. Later, they're in David's car.
How do you know Danny?
Oh, you know. We kept bumping into each other. And we became pals. We've ended up doing a bit of business together when it suits us.
What kind of business?
Property, bit of art dealing. Some buying and selling, this and that.
They park up in a part of town with tall townhouses.
Right. Just pay 2 tickets.
Okay. He takes his hat and approaches a family waiting with baggage on a corner. Jenny smiles, watching his easy manner as he slings a young lad under one arm and helps with the bags. David shows the family in through a wooden front door. An older woman peers out through some net curtains. Jenny looks up at her. She then leans forward, opens the glove box and takes out a packet of cigarettes. She lights one and watches David return to the car.
Sorry about that.
How do you know those Negro people?
They're clients.
Clients?
Schwarzes have to live somewhere. Not as if they can rent off their own kind, is it?
Test
results for the Virgil translation. We'll start from the bottom. Patricia, absent. Margaret, 48%. Jenny, 52%. That would just about scrape a pass in the exam proper. Not good enough for Oxford candidates.
Jenny slumps onto her desk. Later, she's at home.
It's her Latin, isn't it?
Everyone's doing their best, Jack.
But what if everyone's best isn't good enough? What do we do then? Hmm? Well, perhaps the whole thing's been a waste of money anyway.
You don't mean that.
Well, what's she going to do with an English degree? And if she's going to spend 3 years playing that bloody cello, talking in French to a bunch of beatniks, well, I'm just throwing good money after bad. Well, she might meet a nice lawyer there, but she could do that at a dinner dance tomorrow.
Oh, because that's the point of an Oxford education, isn't it, Dad? It's the expensive alternative to a dinner dance. What about private tuition?
Can anybody hear me? How much is this going to cost me?
5 shillings an hour, maybe a little more for A-level.
5 bob? Oh, we spend 5 bob here, we spend 5 bob there. Next thing you know, that's our savings down the drain.
And what else are we spending 5 bob on? What else are we spending 6 pence on?
Oh, nothing. No, nothing. All of this is free. This vase is free.
It was, actually. It was a present from Auntie Vi.
That chair, this sofa, it's all free. We didn't have to pay for any of it. You see, that's the beauty of life, Jenny. You don't have to pay for anything. You know, there's a lovely Oxford tree growing in the garden. Lucky for you, because that's Oxford taken care of. And there's a whole orchard of school trees, so that school is free. And I think there's even a private tuition tree in there. I'll just go and check, shall I?
Jack?
Oh, that's all right, Marjorie. Don't worry, I'll only be a second, because I think there's a whole clump of them surrounding the pocket money tree. I'll just go and make sure they're all nice and safe, shall I? Oh, and by the way, you might be lucky. There might be a man with deep pockets growing out there, because God knows you're going to need one!
Stunned, Jenny looks to her mother.
Well, you can always go to secretarial college with Hattie.
Oh, thanks.
Charming.
She goes to a cafe with friends.
Oh, God, no.
Hello!
Hello, Graham.
Graham cycles up.
I haven't seen you in ages. It went a bit wrong, didn't it? The tea party, I mean. Was it because of the year off thing? Because
No. I just have so much work to do if I'm going to get the grades I need.
Yeah. She doesn't have time for boys.
Squirming, Graham tries to laugh it off.
Bye, Graham.
Bye.
Jenny emerges from her bedroom onto the landing and listens to her parents talking downstairs.
Oh, you do all the good.
No, my accent is no good.
Mara, you've got it.
No, no. I can't do it.
Hello.
Oh, Jenny. David has the most fantastic blue bottle.
Came to see my parents.
Why is that so hard to imagine?
Why are you drinking? It's not Christmas.
Well, there's a lot you don't know about us, young lady. We had a life before you came along.
That's true. I'm only going what I've seen for the last 16 years.
I'm trying to think what you missed. Nothing much comes to mind.
Anyway, I've got a huge pile of Latin translation to do.
But you didn't tell us David went to Oxford.
No. I didn't.
For all the good it did me.
Isn't that funny?
Extraordinary.
I was just telling Jack that I'm going back
next weekend and go and visit my old English professor every now and again.
See, that's what you need, Jenny. Someone on the inside track. It's not always what you know, is it, David?
Too true. Have you ever come across Clive Lewis?
Dad's never come across anyone.
He wrote a children's book called The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe that did very well, I believe.
C.S. Lewis.
Well, to us, he was just the old codger who taught medieval literature, but I came to know him very well. We just got along.
Jenny used to devour those books. I'd love to meet him.
I'm sorry, am I being slow in the uptake? Would Jenny like to come at the weekend?
No, not this weekend, but sometime, perhaps. Yes.
Jenny looks wistful.
How often do you see him?
Not very often. Every couple of years. Maybe next time.
Oh. Well, I suppose... Would she have to stay the night?
I wouldn't recommend driving home after one of those Oxford dinners. Clive could get her a room at the college. It's easy enough.
Seems like too good an opportunity to pass up.
It wouldn't be a bother, would it, David?
We walk along here.
Jenny suppresses a giggle.
Come on!
Just putting a few things in a bag, don't worry.
David and Danny are ready for the trip. Helen's putting a scarf in Jenny's hair.
Come on!
Be there in 2 days. My baby is that special.
How can they only be nearly ready? I wouldn't be surprised if 3 of them came out of that. The only explanation, they're making themselves a friend. Ladies, come on, let's go!
There, have a look in the corner. Open the door. You should keep that one if you want it. I could only wear so many in one day. What about tonight? Have you got a pretty enough nightie? Won't I be sharing a room with you? Oh, you haven't slept with him? No. Good for you.
Really? Do you think so?
Yes. Well, you're only 16. You don't want to get preggers, do you?
No. I wouldn't let that happen. I want to wait till I'm 17. On my 17th birthday, hopefully.
With David?
Oh, golly, it will be with David, won't it?
That's what you want. Anyway, I'll find you a nightie. Ta-da!
Wearing Helen's little black dress, Jenny smiles nervously. Jenny's wearing a stylish coat and has her hair neatly done up. Danny and David stand and admire the effect.
Should we make a move?
They drive through the countryside in David's Bristol. Sun shines on the palatial stone buildings of Oxford. Jenny stares at the spires and turrets.
Later, if we have time.
Imagine spending 3 years here.
Oh, I know.
Helen shudders. Later, they're in a pub.
Why are university girls so strange looking? They can't all have started off that way, can they? I mean, most girls aren't born ugly, but most girl students seem to be, so there must be something about these places that make you fat or spotty or short-sighted.
Well, when you look at it like that, I mean, that's proper scientific analysis. You can't argue with science.
Yeah? I still don't quite understand what you want to do when you get here.
I want to read English.
Books.
Sorry?
You want to read English books.
Reading English is just another way of saying...
Don't worry, Jenny. You're wasting your breath.
Anyway, tomorrow we'll get more of a feel for the place.
Absolutely. This place would be good for a little business. All those little old ladies wandering around.
Old ladies?
The place is rife with stats.
Please explain what stats are. You're always going on about them.
It isn't very interesting.
But you two are interested.
That's because we're not very interesting either.
Oh, no, they're not, really.
It's true. That's why we need you here, to save us from ourselves.
Yeah, to put some intelligence and culture into our brutal lives.
Sing to us, sing to us.
Please don't make me sing to you.
Please don't make us talk about work.
A copy of The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe is signed for Jenny.
Is he Clive, do you think, or see us?
I'm confused now, I thought you made him up.
No, we... Never mind.
Dear Jenny, with the pleasure of meeting you, come and see me again soon, Clive.
Jesse Oberlin.
No?
Jenny grins and closes the book. Later, she's getting ready for bed. David's on the bed, fully clothed. She comes out of the bathroom and looks at him, shifting awkwardly.
We've got these exact same curtains at home.
Let's not talk about curtains. You look beautiful.
David, There's something you should know.
I'm a virgin. And I want to stay that way until I'm 17.
I think that's good. I think that's right. We can still be romantic, though, can't we?
Yes, of course. As long as it's not actually...
Minnie.
Is that me?
Yes. You're my Minnie Mouse. And I'm your bubble up.
Okay. That's what I want to do.
Minnie.
Yes, David.
Bubble up.
Bubble up.
David smiles, but squirms at her discomfort.
May I have a look? Just a peek.
You just want to see them.
He indicates that a yes. Jenny smiles and pulls her nightie off her shoulders. David heaves a sigh. Embarrassed, Jenny avoids eye contact. Then David smiles, stands, and moves to her. He pulls her nightie back on. He goes to kiss her, then hugs her instead. Her arms remain by her sides. Then she puts them round him, and they hold one another. Sun shines on a small village.
I think there's a house for sale around here.
Really?
The Bristol pulls up at some old timbered houses.
Might be worth a look.
Mm-hmm.
We don't go in. What are you talking about?
Why don't you go and get a nice cup of tea somewhere? Helen will look after you.
I don't need looking after, thank you very much. David?
I'm not going to tell you a second time. Run along.
Jenny stands completely aghast as the men walk away. She and Helen walk through a cemetery.
Well, they won't be long, either way.
Either way?
Well, sometimes they find something and sometimes they don't. And when they do find something, we often have to leave quite quickly. They can be quite naughty sometimes.
Thank you.
Cheerio.
Cut. Careful, careful, careful.
Come on. Helen.
Pass it back. Good.
Jenny!
They've slipped a picture in the back of the car.
What?
You can stand there if you like, but I wouldn't recommend it.
Jenny stops playing ball with some children and hurries over. The picture, a map, is sitting between Jenny and Helen on the back seat.
Jenny!
Sorry about being a little brisk back there, Jenny. It's just the way we do things. Silly, really.
Jenny eyes him warily. Later, they arrive at Danny's place.
Who's coming out for a drink?
Me?
No. Here you go. I'll make my own way home.
Jenny takes her bags and strides
Jenny.
Off. Pausing at the curb, Jenny doesn't even look at David.
Jenny!
She stops angrily in the middle of the road and turns to him. He wanders over, wanting to explain.
It's an old map. A speed. Poor dear didn't even know what it was. What a waste. It shouldn't spend its life on a wall in wherever the hell we were. It should be with us. We know how to look after it properly. We liberated it.
Liberated?
Yeah.
That's one word for it.
Don't be bourgeois, Jenny. You're better than that. You drink everything I put in front of you, down in one, and you slam your glass down in the bar and ask for more. It's wonderful. We're not clever like you, so we have to be clever in other ways, because if we weren't, there would be no fun. We have to be clever with maps and... You want to know what stats are? Stats are old ladies who are scared of colored people. So we move the coloreds in and the old ladies move out and I buy their flats cheap. That's what I do. So now you know. And if you don't like it, I'll understand. And you can go back to Twickenham and listen to the home service and do your Latin homework. But these weekends and the restaurants and the concerts, they don't grow on trees. This is who we are, Jenny.
He looks at her imploringly, then grins. She can't help but grin back. He takes hold of her bags. She makes a show of pulling away. He takes her hand and twirls her around. Then they hug and slow dance in the street.
Come on, you two.
Come on up. You can have my olive.
On a colonnaded balcony, Danny holds up two glasses. At night, the Bristol arrives back at Jenny's house. Jenny sits glumly in the passenger seat. David looks across at her.
I suppose you have homework to do.
Wearing a tight smile, she doesn't look at him.
You have no idea how boring everything was before I met you. Action is character, our English teacher says. I think it means that if we never did anything, we wouldn't be anybody. And I never did anything before I met you. And sometimes I think no one's ever done anything in this whole stupid country. Apart from you.
He smiles lovingly at her. Looks down. Then very slowly, they lean together. And kiss. She pulls away, and they smile, then sit awkwardly.
Okay.
Jenny puts her handbag on the kitchen table, takes out the signed copy of The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe, and shows it to her father.
Marjorie, look at this.
Marjorie stops her cake-making and goes to look at the book.
Clive. Oh, lucky girl.
Never a dull moment with David, eh? Better than that young man you brought home for tea.
David's a lot older than Graham.
Graham could live to be 200 years old. You'll never see him swanning around with famous authors. Hasn't got it in him.
Graham might become a famous author, for all you know.
Becoming one isn't the same as knowing one. That shows you're well-connected. Very impressive young man, you're, David.
I must admit, life's a little brighter with him around.
Jenny licks cake mixture off the whisk and grins to herself. At school, the girls are in their PE kit out for a run. Jenny and her friends are hiding behind a tree, smoking.
What the hell are those?
Russian Sobranis.
Where did they come from?
Well, she probably bought them from the Savoy or Claridge's or the Opera or some fancy nightclub.
Who knows with Jenny?
Paris. You can't buy them here.
You never bought them yourself?
No, or never.
Oh, shut up, you stuck-up Carol.
But I'll bring you some back if you like.
You are joking?
No.
He's taking you to Paris?
Oui.
This term?
Peut-être. Wait.
Isn't it your birthday next Thursday?
Might be.
Oh, my God. Your birthday.
I would not like to be you. All those suppers you've had off him. Ouch. You've such a Victorian attitude to sex, you two.
But your parents wouldn't let you swan off like that, would they?
Well, we haven't told them yet. But David will come up with some story, he usually does.
Yeah, I've noticed that.
Chanel perfume, Chanel perfume. Chanel lipstick, Chanel lipstick.
Those funny cigarettes you were smoking, Sobran. 10 packets each.
How much is the Chanel perfume? Well, are you the girl going to Paris or are you not? Because...
The teacher arrives and the girls file out of the classroom.
Tina, top button.
Tina sticks her tongue out.
Jenny, the headmistress wants a word with you. The legend of Mr. Rochester may have travelled further than you intended. Come.
Jenny enters the head's wood-panelled office.
Ah, Miss Bella. We're all very excited about your forthcoming trip to Paris. Our excitement indeed knows no bounds. Some of us can talk of little else. An older man, I understand. A word of warning, Miss Mellor. There may well have been the odd sixth form girl who has lost an important part of herself, perhaps the best part. While under our supervision, these things happen, regrettably. If, however, we are made aware of that loss, then, of course, the young lady in question would have to continue her studies elsewhere, if that is, she still has any use for A-levels. Do I make myself clear?
Can I go now?
If you would.
The headmistress watches Jenny leave. At home, the dining room's in darkness, and Graham has come for tea.
What are you doing in there?
But I imagine she's lighting the candles on my cake.
You're 17, not 250.
Thanks for inviting me.
That was Marjorie's idea, not mine.
Jenny closes her eyes.
Not even Jenny's for that matter.
Marjorie puts the candle-decked cake down in front of Jenny.
Well, blow them out before the house burns down.
Michael. Okay, just don't worry.
Brother.
Jack switches the lights back on.
Me, please.
Oh, come on, presents.
Marjorie drops Graham's slice of cake as Jenny unwraps a present.
It's a new Latin dictionary.
Jenny tries to look pleased and shows Graham.
Thank you. I needed a new one.
Oh, dear. Snap.
Jenny accepts the gift with a tight smile and places it on the other one. Jack gets up to answer the door.
Oh, good grief! Oh, Jenny, you should see this!
It's a special day.
She's a special girl.
I know it.
David's laden with presents.
A bit of help.
Makes your dictionary look a bit feeble, eh, Graham?
Gosh.
These are for you.
Hello, young man.
Oh, David.
David, would you like a drink?
I'd love one.
I best be going, because I've got a stack of homework to do, so...
Oh.
Thank you. Bye.
Cheers.
Bye, Mr. Miller.
Ah, cheerio, Graham.
Thank you.
Wonderful to see you, Graham.
Goodbye, Jenny.
Bye, Graham.
She doesn't even look at him.
A little something warming?
You know me so well.
Can I open anything yet? Wait for me.
Before you open that lot, I've got a surprise. Next weekend, we're all going to Café de Flore to celebrate Jenny's birthday.
Oh, lovely.
Café de Flore is in the Boulevard Saint-Germain in Paris.
What do you mean, Paris?
You know the one, Dad.
Jack's flummoxed.
No. No, we don't have any French money. And besides, it's just... Well, I don't think it would agree with me.
Dad?
The French don't like us, Jenny, you know that. John Sutton, from work, he went there last year. They were very rude to him. I don't want to spoil anyone's fun, but it's just not for me. Europe? You'll have to go another time.
You've just said you don't like Europe. So what's going to change? It'll have to be Europe, won't it? Because it certainly won't be you. I'll take her.
To the continent?
Why not?
And leave me here on my own?
Oh, for God's sake!
Jenny picks up her parcels and goes into the living room, glaring at her father.
What do you think? You know what Jenny's like about France, Jack.
French films and books and music.
Of course I do.
Sorry, yes, goes without saying, she's your daughter. Jenny likes to joke about how you're a stick in the mud and all the rest of it, but I know that's not who you are. Otherwise, she wouldn't be who she is.
No.
But I can also see that I've acted out of turn, and I'm sorry.
David hangs his head. Jenny sighs, and Jack struggles to make the next move.
What about your Aunt Helen?
David glances at Jenny, who tries to suppress a broad grin. They drive off through the evening.
An hour late.
We'll make it, I promise. Okay, there's a flight at 8 in the morning.
Good.
Jenny looks around at the sparsely furnished room with modern wooden furniture.
There's no bed.
I pushed the boat out and got us a suite.
A suite?
Oh. Well, if work stops us from getting to Paris until tomorrow, then work can buy us a nice hotel room. Anyway, it's a special occasion, isn't it?
I'd have thought tonight of all nights we'd only need a bed.
She shoots him a glance. Later, they're lying in bed together. They lie kissing face to face.
Hold on, one second. I've got something.
Then David, in his pajama bottoms, gets up. Jenny sits up and watches him go through to the other room. She self-consciously adjusts her nightie.
I thought we might practice with this.
Jenny's stumped.
The banana.
I thought we might get the messy bit over with first.
She buries her face in her pillow.
David! I don't want to lose my virginity to a piece of fruit.
I'm sorry. Hey.
Oh, I think the moment might have gone.
Hey.
I think we should wait until Paris.
I'm sorry. Minnie.
He flops down on the bed.
I'm an idiot. I'm sorry.
David, if tomorrow night does happen, it's only ever going to happen once.
Why will it only ever happen once?
Because the first time can only ever happen once.
Oh.
So, no baby talk. No Minnie.
He studies her uncertainly.
Treat me like a grown-up. Okay?
He smiles apologetically and hangs his head.
I know. Let's go and sit in our sitting room.
All right. We'll order up some champagne.
They sit side by side on the settee. Jenny grins at David, then reaches forward and grabs the banana.
Quand doucement tu te penches, en murmurant ces dimanches, si nous allions.
Sun shines on the Eiffel Tower. Jenny and David, in film star sunglasses, wander amongst the booksellers on the banks of the Seine. Jenny finds a book she loves and looks imploringly at David. He smiles and reaches for his wallet. He holds her hand as she walks along a high wall. David bosses Jenny into position for a photo of her with Notre Dame Cathedral in the background. She poses. The guy on a bicycle checks her out as he rides past. David's less than impressed, then takes another photo. They run up steep stone steps, then walk arm in arm. They join other couples slow dancing in the sunshine to a record playing on a small portable turntable. They lie cheek to cheek and drink wine with a picnic by the river at dusk. Jenny rests her head on David's shoulder. In the morning, Jenny looks out from their hotel.
You still feel like a schoolgirl?
At the great dome of the Sacré-Cœur. She smiles, thinks for a moment, then shakes her head.
It wasn't too uncomfortable.
Not after the first bit. It's funny though, isn't it? All that poetry and all those songs about something that lasts no time at all.
David looks uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I bought this for you.
Jenny puts a bottle of Chanel on her teacher's desk.
That's very kind of you. But I can't accept it.
Why not?
It's because of people like you that I plough through illiterate essays by Sandra Lovell about her pony. But I know where this came from, Jenny. And if I took it, I feel I would be betraying both of us.
Disappointedly, Jenny puts the bottle back in her satchel. The teacher looks up as she leaves.
Jenny. You can do anything you want, you know that. You're clever and you're pretty. Is your boyfriend interested in clever Jenny?
I'm not quite sure what you're trying to tell me.
I'm telling you to go to Oxford no matter what. Because if you don't, you'll break my heart.
The words hit home, and Jenny thinks hard.
Where did you go?
Cambridge.
Well, you're clever and you're pretty. So presumably clever Miss Stubbs won, and here you are with your pony essays. I don't know, these last few months I've eaten in wonderful restaurants and been to jazz clubs and watched wonderful films, heard beautiful music.
Jenny, are you taking precautions?
Nothing to do with that.
Isn't it?
Maybe all our lives are going to end up with pony essays. Or housework. And yes, maybe we'll go to Oxford, but if we're all going to die the moment we graduate, isn't it what we do before that counts?
Jenny challenges Miss Stubbs with a look.
I'm sorry you think I'm dead.
Miss Stubbs turns away.
I don't think you're dead, I just don't.
I think you better go to your next class.
Greyhounds burst out of starting traps and pelt round the track. Jenny, David, Danny and Helen are in the crowd.
Well, and he always comes last.
Let's go.
Can we do it again? I'm feeling lucky.
Come on, let's go. I don't want to miss him. Pick up your 10 bob on the way out.
I want 10 shillings. Who is this man, anyway?
Peter Rackman, complete bastard.
But why do we have to see him here?
Because he's not the sort of chap with an office.
They climb the stands to a private suite. David shakes hands with a man by the door. They file in, and the ladies' coats are taken.
All of your finest champagne, please. There he is.
Their contact is holding court in a white dinner jacket.
Come on, Jenny. Tell them your good news. Don't be bashful.
No, be sneezy.
Jenny got 2 A's and a B in her mock A levels.
Like everyone else in this sophisticated establishment.
The B was in Latin. Oh,
seriously, congratulations.
Excuse us.
Danny and David move off. Jenny and Helen drink champagne.
Don't worry too much.
About what?
Someone told me that in about 50 years, no one will speak Latin, probably. Not even Latin people. So don't worry about your B.
He's even more of a bastard than I thought.
Yeah, you wouldn't want him to marry your sister. I don't want to talk to you in a club, come to that. You do know what you're doing, old chap. Jenny.
This is the one, Danny.
That's it.
See, she's different.
I just don't want to see her hurt.
Danny leads Jenny to the dance floor, and they move flirtatiously.
I'm coming home now, right away. I'm coming home, baby, now. I'm sorry now I ever went away.
Helen worriedly watches David watching them.
I'm coming home, baby.
I'm not
home. Coming home, baby, now.
I'm
coming home now.
Have you bought any more paintings recently?
Jenny and Danny dance with their eyes locked together.
Picked up a little piper. Good nothing.
I'm still trying to work out what makes good things good. It's hard, isn't it?
Well, the thing is, Jenny, you know, without necessarily being able to explain why, that you have taste. That's not half the battle. That's the whole war.
Jenny smiles, her gaze never wavering from his. David watches them expressionlessly. Helen looks bored, then smiles ruefully at David. David smiles, then turns to watch the dancers returning.
I'm coming home now, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Use your phone.
I'm coming home, baby, now.
Jenny, we should go.
Really?
Yeah. The last one day school will be over forever. And we can talk about arse all night.
We're riding a taxi, aren't we?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's go. Come on. Good night.
Helen and Danny watch them leave. David and Jenny walk to the car park in their overcoats.
Wait here.
David opens the boot and rummages inside.
David, what are you looking for?
Just...
What are you doing?
Will you marry me?
What are you looking for?
I thought I had a ring. It wouldn't have been the right one, but it would have done for tonight.
Oh, David.
I'm serious.
Her eyes well up as she looks at him.
You're very sweet.
What do you think?
He tries to take her hand.
All right.
She gets into the car beneath the colourful lit-up sign that says Walthamstow Stadium. Back at home, she sits studying and slams down her book. She opens the bedroom window and, smoking, looks out at the streetlights. Her parents are downstairs in the kitchen.
Fine, the potting shed. Who does he think I am, Prince Rainier of Monaco?
Jenny watches her parents doing the washing up.
What if I got married instead of going to college?
Married?
Married.
Well, it would depend on who it was, of course.
Would it? That's interesting.
Well, of course it would. I wouldn't want you married off just for the sake of it.
Thanks.
Has somebody asked you?
Yes.
Who? David?
No, a man I just met walking his dog.
What did you tell him?
Nothing yet.
Do you have a choice, or is it too late?
Well, of course she's got a choice. An interesting one too, eh?
This is where you're supposed to say, but what about Oxford?
Well, look at it another way. You wouldn't really need to go now, would you?
I wouldn't need to go. Would you like to expand on that?
You'd be looked after.
All that Latin. All those essays. What was the point? Why didn't you just send me prowling around nightclubs? It would have been less trouble and I might have had more fun.
I don't know about nightclubs. I know about education. Anyway, looks like it might have turned out for the best.
How?
He wouldn't want you if you were thick, now would he?
May not an ass know when the cart draws the horse. Sings whoop jug, I love thee.
And when it says sings, it means you sing the line. Never mind. Right. Leah?
Does any here know me? This is not Leah. Does Leah walk thus? Speak thus? Where are his eyes? Ha! Wait, waking. Who is it that can tell me who I am?
Oh, miss me! I can't.
Oh, Jenny.
What?
Take it off.
It's an engagement ring.
God! Is that what I think it is? I'm going to be a bridesmaid!
You know the school rule on jewellery.
Half the girls in this room are wearing jewellery.
Yes, but none of it's going to ruin their lives.
We have a difference of opinion about that.
Miss Stubbs looks daggers at her.
How far advanced are these ridiculous plans? Have you set a date? Have you decided on a church?
We won't be getting married in a church. David's Jewish.
Jewish?
The headmistress straightens archly.
He's a Jew. You are aware, I take it, that the Jews killed our Lord.
And you're aware, I suppose, that our Lord was Jewish.
I suppose he told you that. We're all very sorry about what happened during the war, but that's absolutely no excuse for that sort of malicious and untruthful propaganda. Anyway, I can see you're far more in need of responsible advice than I realised. Nobody does anything worth doing without a degree.
Nobody does anything worth doing with a degree. No woman, anyway.
So what I do isn't worth doing, or what Miss Stubbs does, or Mrs. Wilson, or any of us here. Because none of us would be here without a degree. You do realise that, don't you? And yes, of course, studying is hard and boring.
Boring?
I'm sorry?
Studying is hard and boring. Teaching is hard and boring. So what you're telling me is to be bored, and then bored, and finally bored again, but this time for the rest of my life. This whole stupid country is bored. There's no life in it, or colour, or fun. It's probably just as well the Russians are going to drop a nuclear bomb on us any day now, so my choice is to do something hard and boring, or to marry my Jew, and go to Paris and Rome and listen to jazz, and read and eat good food in nice restaurants and have fun. It's not enough to educate us anymore, Miss Walters. You've got to tell us why you're doing it.
It doesn't have to be teaching, you know. There's the civil service.
Jenny rolls her tear-filled eyes.
I don't wish to be impertinent, Miss Walters. But it is an argument worth rehearsing. You never know. Someone else might want to know the point of it all one day.
Jenny turns and walks out. Jenny walks down a corridor, carrying her blazer and satchel. She glances into a classroom as she walks out of the school's main doors. She walks down the pavement, then breaks into a run. A gaggle of her friends watch her go.
Where did you find him?
No, I can't tell you that.
Why?
I think he likes you. Do you like him?
Yes, I do like him.
You do? Oh, you don't?
Danny's got a stuffed armadillo.
I remember, it's Jenny. You remember her from last time?
No, I don't.
Yes, you do. Naughty thing. You pardon? That's revolting. Stick to your own species.
He wants to kiss you, I think. Is that naughty?
We're engaged.
No. Really?
Yeah.
Engaged?
Show her.
Yes, look. Gosh, that's fantastic news.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
I knew you'd see sense about university. You'll stay pretty now. Can I still read? Of course, but it doesn't have to be books now, does it? The magazines will do just as well. And you learn more from them anyway.
Oh, Helen.
Danny looks worried.
You won't be laughing, David, when she gets all specky and spotty.
David and Jenny leave Danny's place and head for the car. David opens the door for her.
Danny didn't seem very pleased about our engagement.
I noticed that too. Thought he might be a bit jealous.
Jealous?
We're going to keep him away from you.
They drive off into the London twilight.
I mean, what is one supposed to order as a starter anyway? And how will I know what is a starter and what isn't?
We've been through this, Dad. It'll be quite clearly marked on the menu.
Oh, look, can't the three of you just go on your own and leave me here? I'd be perfectly happy with a tin of salmon.
Marjorie eyes her husband reproachfully.
Hello.
Hello.
David shakes Jack's hand.
Oh. Ready? I think you'll like this place, Jack. Their wine is as good as anything I've seen in London.
Yes, someone told me that.
Huh?
David, probably. Who else would it have been?
They troop out to the Bristol.
Madame?
I was hoping you'd take us in this.
You won't want to drive anything else after tonight. Mind you, it drinks petrol.
Yes.
Afraid we'll have to stop on the way into town.
I feel like Eamon Andrews.
Is that a good thing?
Eamon Andrews is the poshest person that Jack can imagine being.
They head for town in the gathering twilight and stop off at a petrol station.
Oh. How are you tonight, sir?
Very well.
Might as well fill her up. I'm going to make a quick call. I'll be 2 ticks.
As the attendant pumps the fuel, David goes into the shop of the village garage.
Do you think I should offer to help pay for the petrol? Would he be insulted, do you think? No, I know he said tonight was his treat, but does that apply to the petrol, do you think?
I'm sure it does, Jack.
Jenny reaches into the glove box for the cigarettes. The packet's empty. Jack manages to break a door handle.
Jack, come on, it just came off.
There's a pile of envelopes in the glove box. Jenny looks through them as David returns from the garage.
Thank you, sir. Cheers.
David notices Jenny looking at the envelopes.
What's wrong?
I'm afraid there's been... Jenny's had a bit of a shock.
What's happened?
It's just another one of David's little muddles and misunderstandings. I don't want to hear another word from anybody. Take us home. Now.
Jenny sits expressionlessly as they drive back. Jenny gets out and steps away from the car.
You can take care of this, can't you, David?
Go inside, Dad.
Her parents go indoors, and David approaches Jenny.
Mr. and Mrs. David Goldman. Mr. and Mrs. David Goldman. Mr. and Mrs. David, you're married!
Legally, yes, but...
When were you going to tell me?
Soon. It's just never seemed like the right time.
He shakes his head.
It seemed so happy, and I was happy.
You were living with your wife all this time. Round the corner, Byron Avenue. It's no wonder we kept bumping into each other, is it? What number?
34.
She looks at the envelopes, then shoves them back at him.
Don't be like this. Come on.
I have nothing. I didn't take my exams. I left school. Where's it all gone now?
I can get a divorce. Everything will turn out for the best.
Jenny's completely distraught. David looks at her pleadingly.
Go and tell them. Go and tell them and then go and tell your wife.
They won't listen now. All right? I'll come round tomorrow when everyone's feeling a bit calmer.
Please don't make me tell them on my own. You owe me that much. You owe them that much.
I owe them much more than that.
They stand apart, and Jenny wipes tears from her face. David shakes his head, opens the boot, and takes a bottle from a case. Jenny eyes him frostily.
2 minutes, and then I'll come out and drag you in.
She turns on her heel and walks indoors. David goes to the driver's door and gets in the car. Indoors, Jenny stands forlornly in the hallway. David swigs from the bottle, then drops it on the passenger seat. He stares mournfully into the distance, then his lower lip trembles as he starts to cry. Jenny fidgets in the hall, staring at the front door.
What's going on?
He's helping himself to some Dutch courage before facing you. Stolen Dutch courage from the look of it. He has something he has to tell you.
Hearing the car, Jack gets up and goes to the window.
He just drove off.
Tears run down Jenny's cheeks as headlights sweep past the window.
Can you tell us? Jenny, please.
Jenny hangs her head.
I wouldn't worry about it too much.
Danny's playing with a cricket ball as Helen sits with Jenny.
When I found out...
Not now, Helen.
Helen stares at Danny, then gets up and moves away.
I tried to tell him. I'm not speaking to him now. If that's any consolation.
It's a funny world you people live in. You both watched me carrying on with a married man. You didn't think it was worth saying anything about it.
Yes, well, if you want that conversation, you watched David and I help ourselves to a map, and you didn't say much either.
Jenny looks sheepish. Helen hands Danny a drink and flashes Jenny a reassuring smile. Jenny crosses a street and approaches a house. She pauses at the end of the garden path. Then the front door opens and a dark-haired woman with a little boy comes out.
Oh. Hello. Hello. Sorry, I think I've got the wrong number. I was looking for my... I wanted a number for my cello lesson. No, no, don't tell me. Good God. You're a child. You didn't know about any of this, presumably.
Jenny shakes her head forlornly.
No, I never do. You're not in the family way, are you? Because that's happened before.
Jenny indicates that she's not.
Thank God for that. No, no, you stay here.
Stunned, Jenny turns to leave. Jenny walks away down the street. Her worried parents are in the kitchen at home.
Did you see her?
Yes, I saw her.
I didn't talk to her, there wasn't any need.
We have to have this out. But if you won't do it, I will. I'm still your father.
Oh, you're my father again now, are you? But what were you when you encouraged me to throw my life away? Silly schoolgirls are always getting seduced by glamorous older men, but what about you two?
Marjorie looks to her husband, who can't look his daughter in the eye. Jenny goes upstairs. Jack glares at his wife, then stomps off into the living room. Marjorie stands unhappily on her own in the hall. Upstairs, Jenny's sorting clothes in her wardrobe. Jenny turns and stares at the door. Her father's outside with a cup of tea.
Jenny? Jenny?
She stands, rooted to the spot.
Jenny, I'm sorry.
She sits down on the bed.
I know I've made a mess of everything. All my life, I've been scared. And I didn't want you to be scared. That's why I wanted you to go to Oxford. And then along came David, and he knew famous writers, he knew how to get to classical music concerts. But
But he wasn't who he said he was. He wasn't who you said he was either.
Tears roll down Jenny's cheeks.
The other day, your mother and I were listening to a programme on the radio about C.S. Lewis, and they said that he'd moved to Cambridge in 1954. I said, well, they've got that wrong. Now, Jenny wouldn't have his name in her book if he'd moved to Cambridge.
Jenny wipes away her tears, and Jack looks sad.
There's a cup of tea and some biscuits out here.
Jenny's face crumples, and she sobs into her hands. Jack puts the tea and biscuits on the floor by the door. Jenny is racked by sobs. Later, she's in the headmistress's office.
How do you think we can help?
I want to repeat my last year at school and take my exams.
I got the impression last time we spoke that you didn't see the point of school, or of me, or of any of us here.
I know, I was stupid. The life I want... There's no shortcut. I know now that I need to go to university.
It gives me absolutely no pleasure whatsoever to see our young schoolgirls throwing their lives away. Although, of course, you are not one of our schoolgirls anymore. Through your own volition.
I suppose you think I'm a ruined woman.
You're not a woman. No, I'm afraid I think that the offer of a place at this school would be wasted on you.
Jenny's face falls. Later, she's sitting glumly on a bus. She gets up and gets off the bus. She goes to see Miss Stubbs.
I didn't expect to see you again.
This is lovely. All your books and pictures.
Jenny looks around the teacher's roomy kitchen and comfortable sitting room.
Paperbacks and postcards, Jenny. That's all you need, isn't it? Just somewhere to...
Miss Stubbs eyes her coolly as Jenny fights back tears and struggles for words.
I'm sorry I said those silly things. I didn't understand.
Let's forget about it.
Jenny smiles through her tears and sits down.
A Burne Jones.
Do you like him?
I do. Still.
Still, you sound very old and wise.
I feel old, but not very wise.
Miss Stubbs makes tea.
Miss Stubbs, I need your help.
I was so hoping that's what you were going to say.
Jenny reads a book on the bus. With rain falling on the leaded windows of her room, Jenny sits at her desk studying. She snaps a book closed and throws it across the room in frustration. Snow lies on a streetlight. Blossoms bloom in the sunshine. Jenny's reading and pacing. At breakfast, her father's heading off to work. He ruffles his daughter's hair as he walks past. She's reading. Jack comes back into the kitchen with an envelope.
It's from Oxford.
Jenny stares at the envelope, then takes it. Her parents study her as she reads it. She puts the envelope down and leaves the kitchen. Jack takes the letter and hands it to Marjorie. Jenny goes to sit on the stairs.
It's my pleasure to inform you that your application to read English at Oxford has been accepted. On behalf of the Faculty of Arts, the staff of the university.
A smile slowly spreads across Jenny's face.
To read English books and did my best to avoid the specky spotty fate that Helen had predicted for me. I probably looked as wide-eyed, fresh and artless as any other student, but I wasn't. One of the boys I went out with, and they really were boys, once asked me to go to Paris with him, and I told him I'd love to. I was dying to see Paris, as if I'd never been.
The sun shines on the spires of Oxford.